Okay. Anybody ever seen Downton Abbey? Imagine this scene, the Hugh Bonneville character, he's the lord of the manor, isn't he? That he, him and 11 guests, they're sitting around their huge table, they're waiting for dinner to be served, nothing happens. They wait in. He's embarrassed now in front of his guests, and he makes his way downstairs to the kitchen, and there he finds all the servants tucking in into their food, totally ignoring their employer. Imagine that Lord Grantham then says, please don't get up. No, enjoy yourselves. But when you're finished, if you could possibly fit us in, you know, if you could possibly, you know, rustle up something for us, me and my 11 guests upstairs, then that would be wonderful, you know, but please don't put yourselves out. Is he going to do that? No, because he's the boss. And they serve at his pleasure. Or do you picture the sergeant major drilling the troops on the parade ground, saying, attention! You can imagine him going along saying, well done, son, that was great. Thanks. Oh, thanks for listening to me. He doesn't do that because they're only doing their duty. Or if you go into McDonald's and you give them £4 and you ask for a Big Mac or whatever it is, do you stay there now thanking them? Thank you so much for your kindness. Oh, thank you so much for handing me that Big Mac. Thank you. Oh, I can't tell you how wonderful you are. You don't do that because that's a duty. There's a duty rotor up and they're on duty. It's as simple as that. And here the Lord Jesus, the word he uses for servant is actually slave, okay? And what's this about? Well, remember Jesus at the beginning of the reading, which we looked at a few weeks ago, Jesus is warning them that if they put a stumbling block in the way of these little ones, it'd be better off they had a millstone tied around their neck. So it's very serious. And therefore he says, you need faith to accept this. Then he says that you must forgive. If somebody repents, you must forgive. And obviously they need huge faith for that. And so they ask, Lord, increase our faith. But what if I do manage to forgive my brother, and he sinned against me badly, mind, and he comes and repents. What if I do manage to forgive him, and I say, it's water under the bridge, water under the bridge, don't worry about it anymore. Have I now, because I've done that, is it admirable? Should I pat myself on the back? I've done it. He behaved badly, mind, but I've forgiven him. Should I not feel a little bit proud that I've done that? Proud of myself. I found the faith to forgive him. In Bruce Forsyth's words in that game show, didn't I do well? Well, Jesus explains, even if, it's a big if, even if you do every single thing, including forgiving, all you've done is your duty. You do not deserve to be patted on the back. You have no business getting puffed up or big-headed because all you've done is your duty. If you're driving along the M4, do you expect a police car with the blue lights on to pull you over just to shake you by the hand and say, thank you for doing 69 in the outside lane. Thank you so much. Or do you expect a letter from the Prime Minister to say, thank you for paying your taxes last year. So very gracious of you. Because all you're doing is your civic duty. That's it. It's that simple. Or you give a fiver to Red Nose Day. Do you expect to be praised? The trouble is lots of the people do give vast amounts because they want their name to come up on the bottom, that this is what they've given and so on. But all you're doing is your duty. Of course, reality hits home when you realize you've never done your duty for a single day. Neither have I. Even if you could obey all the laws, all you've done is your duty. And Jesus is telling us now then that there have been occasions when we've been kind. There have been occasions spiritually when we've read a good bit of the Bible and learned something. There have been occasions when we've come to church and prayed. There have been occasions when we've stuck around in a pocket and we've given and put big amounts in a collection box. And inevitably the knee-jerk reaction for us then is to feel pleased with ourselves, proud of ourselves. Didn't I do well? There's a knee-jerk reaction to feel superior. Of course, I give. You know, like somebody said to me, a church member said to me 20-odd years ago, I said to my wife, you know, if we didn't tithe, that's 10%, right? If we didn't tithe, we could go on holiday to Lanzarote as well. In other words, aren't we doing well? Oh, we can't go to Lanzarote, but oh, we're tithing. In other words, proud of himself, you see. And Jesus is saying, this is inevitable. If you do what he says you must do, it's inevitable. First thing will happen is you'll be tempted to feel proud of yourself. Listen to Professor Richard Dawkins, the champion of atheism. I am not proud. I merely get angry at others who refuse to show the same humility. Now, he's a clever fella, but he can't see his own pride, can he? Because we don't, do we? He can probably recognize pride in others at 100 paces, but he can't see his own. And by nature, there is no difference. You're the same. I'm the same by nature. When I was converted, I met some people yesterday. I taught, apparently. I don't remember any of them. They could be making it up. But some of them were saying I taught them nearly 30 years ago. Okay, maybe I did. I don't know. But when I was converted, I was teaching there in that school. Lots of the teachers came up and to find out what had happened to me. I'd become a Christian. And more than one of them said, oh, you seem quite happy, but I suppose your life must have been pretty empty, was it? And I had to say, no, it wasn't empty. It was full. But it was full of me. That's the thing. It was totally full of me. My life revolved around me, my family, my career, my car, my house, my hobbies. Me, me, me. That's it, see, when you're full of yourself. And Jesus is saying, even when you do good, in inverted commas, spiritual things, immediately you'll be tempted to be proud. And you mustn't, because that's just your duty. Inevitably, we start to think, I'm better than her. Definitely much better than him. See, Karl Marx, 150 years ago, saw the unfairness. The rich are getting richer. The poor are getting poorer. Let's share. Let's have no private companies. Let's everybody own everything. We'll all be equal. And the tragedy is, it's a brilliant idea in a sense, isn't it? But for original sin, it's a brilliant idea. Let's all share. The tragedy is this, let's all share. No system has produced more poverty than it. Crushing poverty. Look at North Korea. People starving there. Why? Because equality will produce gross inequality unless self is conquered. Self reigns, and self will not give up its throne without a fight. Self will go kicking and screaming. Self-righteousness, self-pity, self-confidence. You know what you were like, don't you? The self-sins, they destroy relationships, they bring governments down. Because even if you are better than me, God says you needed righteousness as good as God's for heaven. Even if you were better than me, even if you try your best to do everything, you've just done your duty and it's nowhere near good enough for heaven. I remember going down to Topic House in Mayhill. I met an old guy there. He was charming, no swearing, softly spoken. Obviously, he had worked hard all his life. I sat next to him and I just said to him, I'm Alan, who are you then? Well, what a bad move. Because he was a gentle fella, but he proceeded for the next 5 minutes, which felt like about 100 years, to tell me all his achievements. All he'd done, all the committees he'd chaired, all the wonderful things that he'd brought about. He was subtle doing it, but every phrase, there was something about himself, what he'd done, who he was, what he'd managed to do. Everything was jam-packed full of self. And I just thought, imagine now that he died and went to heaven unchanged. Heaven would be much more like hell Imagine being stuck next to this fella for the next thousand years. And that's why nobody can see the kingdom of heaven, let alone enter it, unless self is changed. Self has got to go. Going to church, reading the Bible, saying my prayers, sticking a few quid in the collection is not enough. It's never going to be enough. Heaven is for prepared people. People who are changed before they get there. New people, transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. Oh, to see the dawn. This, the power of the cross, Son of God slain for us. People who've seen that, seen it was their fault. That they are just like the best of the disciples who can't be bothered to pray with their Savior, who see what they are. And when they enter heaven, their only interest will be in telling Jesus how great he is, praising him all the time. People who knew all they deserved was God's wrath. All they deserved was God's wrath. They once boasted in themselves and their achievements. Now they boast only in the cross of Christ. All hail the Lamb. They'll be singing that forever in heaven. All hail the Lamb. The question is that you? Is that you? I worked alongside a guy. He was a very nice guy. He was interesting. He was entertaining. But eventually a trickle of pupils came to complain to me about him because he kept saying to them, to the kids, this emotional blackmail, all I've done for you, you know, you don't seem to appreciate what I've done for you. And of course, the kids were thinking, they didn't have enough courage to ask, but they were thinking of saying, sir, what exactly have you done other than your job? Because that's all he'd done was his job. And he hadn't done that particularly brilliantly. But the teacher wanted praise. He wanted a pat on the back. He wanted to be liked and respected. And we're all the same, aren't we? You know, a fellow said to me in the Rhondda when I was preaching up there years ago, if good works can get a man to heaven, I'll be there. Well, where do you start with that? Here's a fellow who hasn't looked in the mirror. He hasn't seen himself, has he? Polonius asks Hamlet, what do you read, my lord? And Hamlet replies, words, words, words. Is that all this message is to you? Just words? Most of you are pretty regular, yeah? Is it just words? How many people have said to me, I do a lot for God. You know, they're regulars in church. I do a lot for God. You know, God doesn't need you. He doesn't need you to do anything. He is offering to serve you and give his life as a ransom for you. He's not asking you. He's not asking you to run around doing anything for him. He's God. He can create like that. He's offering to do something for you. It's a gift. Salvation's a gift. You can't earn it. And if you try to earn it, you would immediately disqualify from receiving it. If you're trying, if you think of something, oh, like, I'm a bit better than so-and-so, I'm in church more often, I pray more, I know the Bible better, immediately you're on the wrong track. It's no good. I remember there was a tough fella years ago, before I was a Christian, in the middle 80s, a policeman, a hard man, a good scrapper, being a rugby player, and he would often pounce on people with a tip for the horses. He was a gambler on the horses. He'd say, hey, good tip this afternoon, 3 o'clock, Kempton, all right? And then he became a Christian. And he would still pounce on people. And he said, remember I used to give you tips? I tell you what, I got a tremendous thing to tell you. Jesus Christ died for people like you. He would pounce on them. Why? Because this news had gripped him. It had gripped him. In 1735, Howell Harris, Welsh fella, came to church at Easter, was saved, was converted, was born again. He had to tell others. He had to do it. He just had to tell people. He started preaching in the open air. He went up to Hayon Wye with his mate. He was preaching. They threw a dead dog at him first to tell him, shut up. Then they started pelting him with stones. His mate was hit and died. Howell Harris carried on preaching. Why? because this was important. That's why. It wasn't callous. We just didn't know. Well, we are. Tragic for my mate. But this is important because these people are perishing. Where are you in all this? Where are you? You still self? Are you? You know, you can be in church and be just as selfish as everybody else. Oh, you might not drink, you might not swear, you might not watch dirty films or whatever, but you're still as full of yourself. Are you? In which case, you'll never get to heaven. You'll never get to heaven. We've got to give up on ourselves. Give up on ourselves. And we have to receive a gift. And the gift is based on nothing we have done. It's based on everything that Jesus Christ did on Calvary. But the only people who receive the gift are the people who realize they got nothing. They got absolutely nothing. Is that you? Or are you still trying to be nice? Amen. Let us sing about the cross. Come and see.